We're studying the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph. Bar Shal Shnei Shutfin. The subject of this Mishnah is a bar that's owned by two people. Are they both responsible? If a Nezek occurs, is one of them responsible? And if one, which one? The Mishnah says, Avar Olav Harishon V'lo Kisahu Vasheni Veloki Sahu Hasheni Chayef. The Mishnah establishes that the responsibility falls on the shoulders of the Sheni. Both of them, the Rishon and the Sheni, are liable in a sense that they are guilty of negligence. Neither one of the two fulfilled his obligation of Shmira to make sure that the bar was covered and protected, yet the Sheni is Chayev. Now here we have Rashi. Rashi adds an element here that, as we'd say in Yiddish, Vashtetnit in the Mishnah. It doesn't say this in the Mishnah. Rashi says that we're talking about a case of Hinicho Rishon L'Sheni Mishtamish, Mishtamish V'Dola, Kishaholach Lo. Rashi describes the scenario addressed by this Mishnah as one in which two Shutvim divvy up the use of the whatever object they own in partnership, in this case a bar. Perhaps we could use an example just as a metaphor of sorts. You have a pool, a public swimming pool. And what I mean by public is that the owner of the pool actually rents out the pool and gives use to different people. So let's say Reuven pays the owner to rent out the pool for the morning hours and Shimon for the afternoon hours. There's a tashmish, there's a use of the pool by each one of these two individuals. Reuven finishes when he finishes, and instead of locking up the pool or closing or covering the pool, he gives the pool over to Shimon. Shimon is the last, we have a phrase in English, last one out turns out the lights. Well, the last one in turns out the lights. Since Shimon, Rashi says, was the last one to use the bar, he's the Shut of Shady in terms of the sequence of use. Shimon becomes the primary responsibility, liability for this bar. Reuven finished using the bar of a halachlo. He gave it to Shimon, and Shimon is now using the bar. Shimon is the last one to use the bar. He's the one who's responsible to make sure that this bar is protected. And in the mashal that I gave, again, a swimming pool is a pretty dangerous kind of thing. If it's left open, people could fall in. Chas v'shalom. Now, the Rif has a different girsa in our Mishnah, and according to the girsa of the Rif, it says the Rishon is Chayev. The first one is Chayev. And according to the Rif, we don't have to talk about use. The first one used it and then the second one used it. These are all additions to the Mishnah. The Mishnah only says Avar Olav HaRishon, and the Rif takes this literally. We're talking about Avar Olav HaRishon. The Rishon was walking by the bar. He's a shooter for the bar. It's his responsibility to cover the bar. And after he passes the bar, the Sheni passes the bar. Both of them leave the bar exposed. Neither of them bothered to cover the bar. But then you'll ask me, well, if that be the case, we go back to square one, our original question, both shutfim, insofar as they were negligent and did not live up to their responsibility to cover the bar, they both should be chayev. So the Shita Mekubetza says that what the Rif means here, according to his girsa, the Rishon is chayev, it means af ha-Rishon chayev. and basically both are chayev, they're both equally negligent, and therefore they both share equally in the liability and the responsibility to compensate the nizak. And so they'll divide it up 50-50. Rashi has a different girsa, whereas according to Rashi, both the Rishon and the Sheni used the bar in sequence, and the Sheni is chayev. The Rif holds that, although there is such a discussion later on in the Gemara, that's not the Gemara's understanding of our Mishnah. That's a separate discussion, a different case. In terms of the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah is talking about Ovru Olav. The Rishon was over, the Sheni was over Olav, and neither of them took the time and the effort to cover the bar. They left the bar exposed. They're both equally responsible. There's another case, which is discussed in the Mishnah, in which the first one used the bar, and then the second one used the bar in sequence, Bazecher Zen. The second one is Chayev. First one left the bar, so to speak, in the hands of the Sheni. But that's not the beer of our Mishnah. In any event, the Mishnah clearly speaks about shutfis over a bar. Now this sort of sends kind of lights or bells, you know, we hear bells ringing, because this really brings us back to the original and most fundamental issue in bar that we discussed back on Daf Mem Tes. What is the Machayev of bar? Is it Bailus over the bar, or is it the creation of the bar? If it's the creation of the bar, we discussed at great length, that means a bar b'shus a rabbi, which means no one owns the bar. And if we assume that it's not the creation of the bar per se in Rishus HaRab, that's not the Machayev of bar, but rather the ownership over the bar, and that would be the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. In fact, Rabbi Yosef goes as far as to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the only Machayev of bar is ownership over the bar. And if that be the case, I'm sorry, according to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Akiva holds that there's only one Machayev of bar, and that is Bailus over the bar Rishuso. Right? Ubala bar Yishalim. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Ubala bar Yishalim, and that's it. Then our Mishnah makes a lot of sense, because if the Machayev of bar is Bailus over the bar, and that is, according to Rabbi Akiva, the soul, the exclusive chiyuv Torah shel bar, then you could have a bar shel shutfin. On the other hand, if we take Rabba's opinion in Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabba, holds that bar b'shuso is potter, and that the only machayef of bar is bar b'shuso rabim, ki yichre and ki yiftach. And if that be the case, how do you have shutfis over a bar? I mean, there is no bailus over the bar that the Torah says yichayev for. And that's exactly what the Sugyas HaGemara is all about. I tried to analyze and work out, according to the various opinions, where and how we get a hechetimtza, a possibility of a bar shel shutfin. Amri. So the Gemara analyzes this as follows. Bar shel shnei shutfin hechim ishkachas. How do we have bar shel shutfin? Ha'nicha isvirulon k'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that bar b'shuso is chayev. Now when we say bar b'shuso is chayev, and again according to Rav Yosef, bar b'shuso is the exclusive case, the exclusive chiyuv of bar, then what we mean to say is, somebody falls into my bar, my private property, why am I chayev ubala bar yishalim? The answer is because I was mafkir the reshus around the bar. Meaning, if you walk into my private property, fall to my bar, that's not my problem. What are you doing in my private property? But the answer is that I created a bar in my private property. I own the bar, but nevertheless I set up a bar in such a way that the rabbim would have access to the bar, and it becomes a danger for the rabbim. And that's why, according to Rabbi Akiva, you're chayev mishum bar b'shuso. So, for example, you were you were chofer a bar in your backyard, but then you were mafkid rishus around the bar, you still own the bar. The rishus harabim, the bnei rishus harabim have access and have permission to enter into and up to the bar, and they fell into the bar. For that, you're chayv, says Rabbi Akiva. And that's the exclusive case, according to Rabbi Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, of the chiyuv bar. Is mishkachas lechotzer shel shutvim shel shneim. Two people were partners in a courtyard, in a chotzer, and they dug a bar in that chotzer, and they now are partners in the bar. So it's bar shel shutvim mamish, vifkiru reshusam v'lo vifkiru es boram. That's the classical case of bar, except in this case there is shutvim on the bar. Now if somebody falls into the bar, which one of the shutvim is chayev? And that's where you have Rashi and the Rif, as we discussed earlier. Ella says the Gemara, "Is viralon bar b'shuso patur." If, on the other hand, we maintain, like the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel. Now, let's go with Rabba's sheet in Rabbi Shmuel. Rabba holds, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that you're potter. Barber Shuso is potter. And again, we discussed at great length why Barber Shuso is potter. After all, he was mafkir, the reshus around the bar. And the answer is either that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's nothing illegitimate or illegal about being mafkir, the reshus around the bar. There's no reason why the Baal HaBar should now suffer and pay damages. Or alternatively, Rabbi Shmuel holds that we shift the responsibility to the rabbim, that they should be marchik themselves and not to come too close to the bar. That's their headache. So if that be the case, then according to Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel has no case in which you be chayev for bar b'shuso. Is hechim ish kachas the chayev aleo b'shuso rabbim? In other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah was Machayev Bar B'Shus Arabim, and that's the only Machayev of Bar. So then, how could you have Bar Shel Shutvim in B'Shus Arabim? U'B'Shus Arabim Bar Shel Shutvim Hecha Mishkachas. The Gemara is asking, I don't have a Hecha Timtza of two people owning a bar. So again, according to Rabbi Akiva, Bala Bar Yishali means that Bailas on the bar is a Machayev. Then we can understand very well Shutvim on a bar. But if you maintain, like Rabbi Yishmael, that when the Torah says Bala Bar Yishali, it's talking about a case of creation of a bar, and that pasuk is a hemshech of the pasuk that comes before it, meaning ki yichre and ki yiftach yichai for creating a bar, and that means in rishus harabim. So then, how could you ever imagine a bar shel shutvim for which the shutvim achayev? Now the rishonim are bothered by the following question. Let's say Chafru bar b'shusam v'fkiru es b'shusam v'es boram. What if they dug a bar together in their backyard, these two shutfim, and then they were mafkir everything, including the bar? In such a case, l'chora, even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that they should be chayev. But the Rishonim say that in such a case, you'll take a look at Tosfos Dirmaskel Bar, everybody agrees that you're potter, both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. The Chafiris HaBar was beheted. There was nothing illegitimate. It was in their reshus. And now, they have a right to be mafkir, and they were mafkir everything. So they left themselves with no bailus over the bar. So if you hold that bailus is a machayev, they don't have bailus. And if you want to say creation of the bar is a machayev, well, they weren't responsible for creating the bar. Rashi, on the other hand, back on Daf Chav Chesam and Beis, maintains that if they were mafkir both the reshus and the bar, the chayev, like anybody who is chofer bar b'shus harabim. So that l'chora could have been a case of bar shel shutvim, where they were chofer together as a joint effort, a bar b'shusam, and they were mafkir both. Maybe the Gemara is not happy with that hechatimtza, because that you wouldn't call Barshel Shutfim in the literal sense. Right now the Gemara understands that Barshel Shutfim means literally they both own the bar. If they were mafki the bar, they don't own the bar. Now, there's another possible Heichad Timtza of Barshel Shutfim. If the first Chofer dug Asara Tfachim and the second Chofer dug another Asara Tfachim, they're both Chayev. And we're going to see this case a little bit later on in the Sugya itself. In any event, getting back to the Sugya, the Gemara now presents the following possibility. Let's say that both Reuven and Shimon appoint Levi as their shliach. V'yamri Levi, they say to him, they commission him, Zil Krei Lon, please go ahead and be our shliach and dig a bar in the Rishus HaRabim. V'azil Karolahu, and indeed Levi, as a very loyal shliach, went ahead and he was Mekayim his shlichus. That's a case where you have a bar that was dug by two people. Again, we'll soon see that the Gemara is going to offer what I think is a more simple approach, that they both actually dug the bar together. But in any event, right now the Gemara, you know, is hard-pressed to imagine how two people could jointly create a bar, dig a bar. It's usually a solo effort to build, to create a bar. So the Gemara says, well, they both appointed a shliach to create this bar. And since shlucho shalom kamoso, it's for all intents and purposes, al pidin, it's as if they both dug the bar. So the Gemara rejects this. This is impossible. There's no shlichus to the creation of a bar b'shus harabim. Why? Ein shliach l'dvar avera. The mice of the shliach relates to the shliach himself and not back to the mishalech. We have a principle which is formulated by the Gemara in Kiddushin that ein shliach l'dvar avera. Now, exactly why digging a bar is a mice avera, that the Gemara doesn't spell out. And some say because it's gzela by being mekalkel rishus rabim and digging a bar in rishus rabim. Others say that that's only an Issa Drabbanon, and then you get into the question of whether Ein Shliach Dvar Avera applies to an Issa Drabbanon. The Noda Yehuda says explicitly that digging a bar Mishnah Sram is an Issa Doraisa, and the Meshech Chachma understands from Meir Simcha that that's Lifnei Evil Asitein Michshal, which is a beautiful interpretation here, because literally you put a Michshal in front of an Iver and he trips on it. That's a bar v'shus harabim. Although many of the mefarshim understood that lifnei iver should not be interpreted literally, it means somebody gave him a bad piece of advice, deliberately did so, etzara. Somebody was machshil someone in an avera. But at least according to the Meshech Chachma, ein mikra yotze v'dei pshuto. There are also other possibilities. For example, you're not allowed to leave a roof that's slanted without a maka, without a fence around it, vasiso maka v'gagechel, osasim dom v'secha. That also might be a violation that's incurred by digging a bar in Rishus HaRabim. But be that as it may, we have a principle, whatever the avera is, ein shliach l'dvar avera, the Gemara says in Kiddushin, divrei rab, divrei talmid, divrei mishomim. There's a separate svara to say that there's no shlichus to a dvar avera. The Rashi has a fascinating question, because if the shliach was a guy, then lechora we should say yesh shliach l'dvar avera, because there's no divrei harav in the case of a guy. But he answers that there's no shlichus of a guy for Yisrael, and that's based on a sugya bav metzia daf ayin aleph. Now the Gemara offers a second scenario. Ve'i dekara hai chamisha v'hai chamisha. Let's say that one, we'll call him Reuven, dug five tfachim, and then the second, Shimon, dug a second five tfachim. Now we have a bar of 10 tfachim. And together they created a bar, and therefore they're chayv b'toras shutfis. And we might assume that both Reuven and Shimon are equally liable for this bar. So the Gemara says, "Nistalku lahu ma'aser rishon." The digging of Reuven is completely gone. The sheni, meaning Shimon, takes complete responsibility for this bar, insofar as he was the one who created the bar, because the classical bar of the Torah is 10 tefachim deep. And here the Gemara points out, and this is going to be a major topic for us, the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim. Let's just very quickly and in an abridged way summarize the machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, which we're going to take up in 5 minutes from now in great detail. According to Rebbe and the Chachamim, in this case they both agree, as far as Misa is concerned, we need a bar test for a shor to die in the bar, and therefore the achron, the one who completed the process and made it into a bar yud, ten tefachim, he added the last tefach, he's chayv exclusively. The machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim is as far as nezikin, if the shor fell into this bar and broke its leg, who's responsible? Is it the Rishon, the Sheni, or both? And here's where the Rabbanan come up with a brand new principle. It may be Exeris HaKosov, I don't know. That Nistalku Luhu Maisa Rishon. That even vis-a-vis Nezikin, it's the Sheni, it's Shimon, who completed the process of creating this bar. He's Chayev, even as far as Nezikin is concerned. He's exclusively Chayev. The Rishon, meaning Reuven, is gone. He's out of the picture. He has no liability whatsoever. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds that as far as Nezikin is concerned, we split the Nezikin, and both Reuven and Shimon, the Rishon and the Sheni, will share in the Tashlumi Nezikin to the Nizak, and each one pays a price that reflects the amount of guilt or responsibility he has in creating the bar. So it's respective. Let's say in the classical case, the Rishon dug 5 and the Sheni dug another 5. Each one will pay half of the Nezikin. So the Gemara says, Ha nicha l'Rebbe u'l'Nezikin. Our Mishnah could make a lot of sense if the Mishnah is to be attributed to Rebbe. And we're talking about the shor falling into the bar and breaking its leg. Is Mishkachasle. Now we have a case of a bar shel shutfim in Rishus HaRabim. They both dug the bar. Reuven dug 5 and Shimon dug another 5. They each pay, commensurate to the amount that they dug, the liabilities, the compensation for the breaking of the leg of the Nizak, of the shor of the Nizak. And that makes a lot of sense. And again, even if we're accepting Rabbi Yishmael, who, according to Rabbah, holds that the Mechayev of bar is exclusively creation of the bar b'shus harabim, that exhausts the entire parasha of the Chiyuv Bar. Here we have Shutfim. Again, Shutfim doesn't mean the way we understood it in the Hava Mina, that they both legally own the bar. After all, that's impossible according to Rabbi Shmuel. So if we're going to try to reconcile Rabbi Shmuel with our Mishnah, we must assume that the word Shutfim cannot be taken literally from the perspective of classical Choshei Mishpat, but it means Shutfim from the perspective of Nezikin as far as the Mechayev of bar. And they both dug the bar in Rishus HaRabim, therefore they're both responsible, they're Shutfim as far as Nezikin is concerned, but that's only according to Rebbe. However, Le Rebbe Ulemisa, even Rebbe would agree in the case of Misa that Nistalku Maisa Rishon, and there's no Shutfis here on the bar. Only Shimon created the bar because he made it into a bar yud. According to the Rabbanan, even vis-a-vis Nezikin, if the shor broke its leg in the bar, only the Sheni is chayv and not the Rishon, so there's no two shutfim in this bar. So we're back to square one. According to the Rabbanan, and even according to Rebbe in vis-a-vis Misa, if the shor died in the bar, we don't have a hechetimtza of two shutfim in a bar b'shus harabim. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Shmuel, who says that bar b'shuso, privately owned bar, is not chayev. On Rabbi Yochanan says, kigon she'akru shneim chulya b'vasachas v'shlimo hishlimu la'asara. They both dug the bar simultaneously. Again, you could say they both picked up a very heavy stone and thus created a bar. The stone was gigantic. It was a major boulder. It was 10 tefachim deep. But that's kind of hard to believe. Let's assume that the bar was already 9 tefachim. We have this little, relatively small chulia, this little boulder that's only 1 tefach. They lifted it together. They both created the bar. And before the bar was only a bar teisha, now it's a bar asara. They created a bar hamemis. And there's no Maaser Rishon over here. You know, to apply the principle of Nistalku Maaser Rishon, that we can't say, because simultaneously they created this bar HaMemes by removing this Chulia and digging and creating a bar that's 10 Tefachim deep. And at this point, Rabbi Yochanan has seemingly resolved, or shall we say, discovered the secret of our Mishnah, resolved the apparent difficulty in our Mishnah. He has successfully identified the Hechatimtza of our Mishnah. Again, it seems from this sugya that a bar up until 9 tefachim creates a nezek, but it doesn't create misa. And therefore, if the shard dies in the bar tests, then we don't attribute the death of the bar to the death of the shard to the bar. But from 10 and on, the bar is roi lahamis. And we're going to see later on that the Rabbanon of Rebbe derived from the pasuk ki yichre that it's only one korah and not shnayim. And as a general rule, we cannot be mechayev two people for creating one bar, unless the chafiru is not bazech or zeh, but rather b'vasachas. Then obviously there's one chafira of two people, and they're both chayev. And that's going to be this case here, Rabbi Yochanan of Chulia, the akru Chulia b'vasachas. And in this case of Rabbi Yochanan, the way he interprets that Mishnah, no matter what happened to the shor, whether it died in the bar or it was injured in the shor, and whether we're going to Rebbe or the Rabbanon, that last tefach, which was gorem, generated the bar hamemis, is also considered now the gorem of the nezikin of the behema. Therefore, they both, Reuven and Shimon, are equally chayav in liability here for the bar, because they both created a bar yud, which is a bar hamemis and a bar hamazik. And at this point in the sugya, the Gemara goes back to analyze the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanon in the case of chofrim bazech or zed. Do we apply the principle of nistalku maaser rishon? My Rebbe, my Rabbanon. What is the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanon? Disanya, we learned in a braisa, echad hachofer bar tisha uba acher vishlima lasava. So Reuven dug 9 tefach. Shimon added the 10th tefach. Now became a bar hamemis. Ha'achron chayov. According to the Chachamim, the Achron is exclusively the bala bar. The Rishon is out of the picture. And that matters not whether the shor broke its leg in the bar or the shor died in the bar. The Achron, insofar as he created a bar amemis, takes over the bar, period. Even as far as Nezik and Rebbe Omer, according to Rebbe, Achar Achron lemisav Achar Shneim lenizokin. Rebbe says something which is intuitively logical. Namely, that as far as Misa is concerned, okay, you cannot hold the Rishon responsible for the death of the shor because he only dug 9 tefachim. And therefore the Sheni, Shimon, who added the 10th tefach, is exclusively chai for Misa. On the other hand, as far as Nizokin is concerned, it makes sense that if the animal broke its leg, it's not due exclusively to the Sheni, who added the 10th tefach. The 9 tefachim were sufficient as far as Nezikin is concerned. Indeed, if the Sheni hadn't come along, the Rishon would certainly take upon himself all the Chiyuvim to pay compensation to the owner of the Shor who broke its leg for Nezikin, because a 9 tefachim is enough for Nezikin. And why should therefore the Sheni, who did nothing, you know, profound to change the bar, as far as Nezikin said, why should all of a sudden the Rishon go out of the picture? You know, if not for the Sheni, the Rishon would have been exclusively Chayef. So what did the Sheni do over here? Maybe the Sheni contributed to some extent because the leg was broken in a more profound way, but that doesn't mean that the Rishon should be alleviated of his responsibility. And perhaps the Rabbanan are really saying something profound here, that it's not that the bar has two identities. You know, there's a bar Hamazik and the bar Hamemis. No, there's one identity. If it's nine tefachim, then you identify it as a bar Hamazik. But once it becomes a bar Hamemis with the tenth tefach, then the identity, the Chal Hashem bar Hamazik, is completely gone. The bar Hamemis sort of swallows up any other identity. Whereas, according to Rebbe, okay, you added the 10th Tefach, now it's a bar, in addition to being a bar Hamazik, it's also a bar Hamemis. But we don't overshadow or completely undermine the original status of the bar as a bar Hamazik. My time at the Rabbanan, and now we understand very well why the Gemara is bothered by the Chachamim here. You know, it's not intuitively rational to say that the Rishon is completely out of the picture, even as far as Nezikin is concerned. After all, he created a bar Hamazik. In fact, as far as Nezikin is concerned, you could say he did at least 9/10 of the he contributed at least 9/10 as a cause for this breakage of the leg of the shor. The Gemara answers the Omar Kra. The Rabbanan saw it in a pasuk. In the parasha of Bar, it says, Ki yiftach ish bar, o ki yichre ish bar. And the question is, why did the Torah need both? Im ala psicha chayev ala kriya lo koshkin. We've seen this logic many times before. If he's chayev for removing the lid, the covering over a bar, then how much more so he's chayev for creating the bar from scratch? So why did the Torah therefore feel compelled to mention the case of kriyas habar? Suffice it with psicha sabar, will derive kriya sabar, digging the bar from a kal v'chomer. Elo lahavi kora achar kora shesilek maisa rishon. The chiddush here of kora is to tell you that if you have two people who dug the bar, the second one is the one who's chayef. The second one, since he created a bar hamemis, which didn't exist by virtue of the efforts and the digging of the Rishon, who only dug 9 tefachim, therefore, nistalek maisa Rishon, the chiyuv of the Rishon is completely gone. And we'll see later on that it's not clear how this drush operates, because, all right, there's a chiddush here in the pasuk of Ki Yichre, and that's what we're trying to find, but that doesn't necessarily point the accusation here to the second guy. Now again, if we only had the pasuk Ki Yiftach, and the poseach, who removed the lid, he did the entire nezek, then in such a case, we understand very well that the Rishon is completely guiltless. He's off the hook because the Rishon left the bar with a covering over it, and clearly the Sheni is the one who's chayev and istalik ma'aser Rishon. But in the case of Korach or Korah, after all, the first Korah also contributed to the hezek. So this principle of silek ma'aser Rishon, which the Chachamim derived from this drasha, still becomes, you know, very difficult. V'Rebbe. And Rebbe says, Amar lecha, what do I need this extra pasuk ki yichre? After all, we have the kal v'chomer. And the answer is, hanu mitzrach tzrichi. We need both ki yiftach and ki yichre. Kidhamrinon, as the Gemara says, back on daf nun. And there we had a whole sugya of shmiras habar. And, you know, you might think that only if he created the bar, he's chayav in shmira. If he put the lid on it, maybe he's not chayav in shmira. And then And then had the Torah not told us ki yichre, we would think that only in the case of ki yiftach, he can get away with covering, with covering the bar, because he was only liable for uncovering the bar. But in the case of ki yichre, he has to fill up the bar, and he has no choice, because he created a bar, he's got to remove the bar, and a covered bar is still a bar. And therefore the Torah had to tell me ki yichre. And of course there was another possibility of saying that al iske kriya, al iske psicha, the Torah wants to be mechadish to you, that you chayef for creating a bar. This was all the discussion above. So you can't throw the book at Rebbe and say, Rebbe, why did the Torah have to say ki yichre? For Rabbananami mitzach tzrichi, the Rabbanan also agree that all those dinim of shmiras habar have to be derived from ki yichre and ki yiftach. Ella, so therefore we have to sort of sharpen and refine our understanding of the Rabbanan. Hainu time of the Rabbanan, Omar kro ki yichra ish bar. And the Torah adds the word ish, not to exclude, as sometimes we see it, isha, because both a man and a woman are equally chayev and nezikin, but rather ish means one, the singular, velo shnayim. And insofar as the pasuk added this word ish, the Torah says that only one could be chayev for the bar. Now again, who should be chayev for this bar? Is it the Rishon or the Sheni? Well, I guess according to Rabbanon, and that's what Rashi seems to indicate here, it's logical to say that as far as Misa is concerned, only the Sheni should be chayev, and therefore I don't need a pasuk for that, vis-a-vis Misa, but rather the Torah is telling me that in Ezekiel, only one of them would be chayev, and we're going to have to say that, in a sense, the Sheni did a more profound, the repercussions of the Sheni are more profound, and therefore he takes over the bar. But the Gemara is going to have to analyze that in a minute. The Rebbe, and Rebbe says, Hahumi boile ki yichra ish bar velo shar bar, that the extra word ish is coming to exclude the case where my shar created a bar. I'm not chai for that bar if my shar creates a bar. So the Gemara asks Rabbanan, don't they need the word ish for this drasha to exclude a liability if my shar created a bar? And the answer is trei ish bar ksivi. The Torah says ki yiftach ish bar, and then it says o ki yichra ish bar. The first ish is coming to exclude shar if the shar dug the bar. The second ish is coming to exclude kora achar kora to establish that only the sheni is chayev for nizke habar. The Rebbe says, you know what? I need the cause of high. The Torah has a certain commitment to symmetry, to literary symmetry, and therefore, when it says ish bar at the beginning of the pasuk, yiftach ish bar, to exclude shar bar, then when it gets to kriya, which we discussed earlier, that we need the pasuk kriya to be mechadesh shmiras habar, then the Torah again repeats the phrase ish bar. Now the Gemara comes back to analyze the Rabbanan. Okay, so Ish tells you that only one person is chayev for the bar. Umimaydil chayev basra. What's your logical, compelling reason to say that it's the Sheni who's chayev and not the Rishon? Dilma l'chiyuvei kama. Maybe the first one who dug 9/10 of the bar, the first 9/12, he should be chayev. And again, we're talking about Nezikin. Lo salka daitach the Omar kra. Again, we come back to the pasuk, and I'm going to read the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, "Baal abar yishalim, vameis yelo." What does it mean, vameis yelo? We're talking about a case of a bar that's 10 tefachim deep, because otherwise it's not a bar amemis. We attribute the death of the shor to some other cause. Hahu deka avid misa. He who created the bar that the Torah is speaking about, because the Torah says Baal Abar Yishalim, which bar is Baal Abar Yishalim? It's the bar that has a misa in it. The one who dug a bar and therefore caused the death of the shar that fell into this bar, that's the bar that the Torah is talking about. He's the Baal Abar. He's Chayev. Says the Gemara, wait a minute. You're basing yourself on Vamesi Alo, Hi, v'hai, I'm v'amesi alomi boile lichid Rava, the famous statement of Rava. He darshens this pasuk v'amesi alo to the exclusion of sharp suli amikdashim. The Amar Rava, sharp suli amikdashim, shenafal lebar potur, shenema v'amesi alo b'misha amesha alo. We need the pasuk v'amesi alo to exclude the case of sharp suli amikdashim, which means a Bechar or any one of the other Kodshim that became Pasul. It means a Mum fell into this animal, a blemish. And Psuli HaMikdashim are subject to Pidgin. And that's the Parsha in Re'eh Dvarim Yud Beis. Tizbach V'Yachalta Basar. But nevertheless, even after Pidgin, the Torah says V'Yachalta Basar, you're allowed to eat the Basar. But nevertheless, there are many other things that you're not allowed to do with this shar, with this animal. For example, tizbach velo giza, you're not allowed to take the shearings. Basar velo chalav, you can't take the milk. V'achalta velo lekalbecha, you're not allowed to feed it to your animal. And not only that, but you cannot enjoy the nevela. You cannot benefit from the veil by feeding it to a kelev. And basically what we're saying here is that even after Pidgin, the Mukdashim, the Behemas Kodesh, which was Kodesh Lemizbeach originally, still has a residue of Hegdesh to it. And again, as we've said many times, there's no Parsha of Nezikin as far as Hegdesh. Hegdesh is excluded from the Parsha of Nezikin. But again, in the case of Psuli HaMukdashim, that's the Twilight Zone case, that's the unclear case of whether it does have a din of Hegdesh or not. So would it be included in Ezekiel or not? And therefore, if a Shor Hegdesh becomes a Balmun and becomes Posel, and now it falls into a bar and dies there, would the Balabar pay or not? And for that, I need a special Pasuk to tell me that because there's such a powerful residue of Hegdesh, in the Chalos Hegdesh, in this sharp Psuli HaMikdashim, even after Pidgin, which means that the Vela doesn't belong to him. V'amesi alo means he owns the Nevela, but that's not true for the case of Psuli HaMikdashim, because even after Pidgin, you're not allowed to feed that Nevela to clove him. So the Gemara says we need this pasuk of Amesi Elo to exclude sharp Psuli HaMikdashim. How can the Rabbanan use it to establish that the Sheni is Chayev when he digs the 10th Tefach and the Rishon is Nistalik? Amri, the Gemara says, V'lav memela shamet minei tibahu diavid misas kinon. We don't need an extra pasuk to teach us that the Sheni is Chayev. All we need is to understand what's the mitzius, what's the scenario that the Torah is addressing here. The Torah is talking about a bar hamemis. That's mefurish in the pasuk. I don't need drashas and extra words in the pasuk for that. And the person who dug the extra tefach, in this case the 10th tefach, and he caused the death of the shor, that's what the Torah is talking about. He's the one who's chayv for the nezikin, and that's why the Rabbanan insists that it's a sheni chayv, not the rishon, is talku maiser rishon. Now the Gemara swings back to the concept of bar shel shutfim, and it's halacha. It's Tanur Rabbanan. Echad hachofer bar asara. So the first one dug 10 tefachim. It's a bar amemis. Uba achir, the second one, Vishlima l'esrim, he added another 10 tefachim. Uba achir, Vishlima l'shloshim, he added a third set of 10 tefachim. Now it's down to 30 tefachim deep. And in this case, the Rabbanan would have to agree that we cannot apply the principle of Nistalik Maisa Rishon, because the Rishon created a bar of 10 tefachim. He created a bar of Memis, which is described in the Torah of Agam, V'amesi Elo. Is Kulam Chayavim, they're all Chayav Shove B'Shove, which means that each one pays a third, and it matters not whether the animal broke its leg, and that's called Huzak, or the animal died, that's called Humas. And the reason for that is, if the bar was only 10 tefachim or 20 tefachim, it's very possible that the shor would not have died, or that the nezek wouldn't have been so profound. Again, you could always ask, well, hamotzi mechavel of araya here, but the way the halacha operates is the koach of all three diggers is ma'urav. Uriminu, and now the Gemara asks the following question. We have a different brisa that seems to contradict the first brisa. Echad achofer bar asara, uba acher v'sied v'chied is ha'achron chayev. We've discussed in at great length that a bar is chayev certainly for hevel. That's according to everybody, Rav and Shmuel. And here, by narrowing the bar, in the case of Sied, he adds Tiach to the walls of the bar, and that cement certainly narrows the airspace of the bar and creates a hevel that's more dangerous. Or Kied, he adds certain artistic, it's called in Hebrew tziurim, also using some sort of concrete. And once again, the airspace of the bar becomes narrower, and therefore there's more hevel to be mazik. And all this was explained fundamentally earlier, and then the Gemara here is going, on the Aleph and Beis, is going to expand upon it. Is ha'achron chayev. In all these cases, it's the achron who's chayev. Now, this is very strange, because the Brisa says explicitly that the first chofer created Asar Tefachim, which is a bar of Mamis. It's a real, bona fide, full-fledged bar. So now I don't understand. Why not apply the principle of Brisa A, that both of them should share the Chiyuv? Why does the second Brisa assume that only the Achron is Chayev? It really doesn't make any sense here. Now, again, in this brisa, each one made a bar, is responsible for a bar amemis, correct? I mean to say, in the first brisa, each one made a bar amemis, because each one dug 10 tefachim. 10, 20, 30, each one of the three dug a bar amemis, and therefore it makes sense that each one created a bar. Here, in the second brisa, it's even more challenging, because certainly it was the first one who created bar amemis. The second one who did sied and chied, he's only adding a little bit to that bar. So it's very interesting that the Gemara thinks now that the second brisa could possibly make sense that the sheni should be chayev, even though he did ma'at. Forget about asking Asteria. I would have asked a more profound question here. The second brisa inherently, internally, makes no sense. Now we turn to Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara thinks that this stira between the two brisos might reflect the Machlok Shin Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Lema, perhaps we could suggest, the brisa that says kulam chayov, and that's what we call brisa number one, is Rebbe. That reflects the sheet of Rebbe. And Rebbe holds that if Reuven digs 9 tefachim and Shimon adds the 10th tefach, they're both chayov as far as Nezikin is concerned. And here too, in the 10-10-10 case of this first brisa, they're all partners as far as Chiyuv Misa is concerned. But for her, the second brisa that says the Achron is Chayev, Rabbanan, who derived from the Pasuk Ishbar that only one is Chayev, and he points the accusing finger at the Sheni and Nistalik Reis of Rishon, and therefore the Messiah himself is Chayev, and only he's Mechayev. The Gemara is not happy with this, because the Gemara thinks that there's no need to assume that the first brisa reflects the Shita of Rebbe. Amar Rav Zvid Havaha Rabbanon, both brisos can easily reflect the sheet of the Chachamim, and there's no need to assume that there's a stira, a contradiction in these two brises. Ad kan lo ka'amri Rabbanon sh'achron chayav ela heichad lo ovid kaima shiur misa. The Rabbanon could agree that if the first one created a bar that's not a bar amemis. He only dug 9 tefachim. He's out of the picture. It's talik ma'aser rishon when the sheni creates a bar amemis by adding the 10th tefach. But here, that the rishon created a bar of asar tefachim, which means he created a bar amemis, the rabbanu would agree that the achron is also the rishon is also chayav. You don't say nistalik ma'aser rishon. Aval di ovid kama shiur misa is afilu rabbanu modu likul chayavim. The rabbanu's case was only where the first one dug 9 tefach, but here the first one dug 10 tefachim. The Gemara is not happy with Rav Zvid. Vasiyed v'chiyed the ka'ovid kama shir misa. In the second brisa, the first chofer dug a full 10 tefachim. He created a bar amemis. The second one made this bar a little bit more dangerous by making it more narrow and intensifying the profound impact of the hevel. But the first one is who created a bar amemis, uktani achron chayev, and nevertheless in the second brisa, the second one who did the siyed and chiyed is chayev, exclusively chayev. Amri, the Gemara answers, hasam, in the case of siyed v'chiyed, we're talking about a case that before the siyud of the bar was very wide, and therefore there was a lot of air in the bar. Shlo hayabo hevel lemisa. There wasn't enough. Let's say if the width was greater than the depth, that means a lot of air comes in, and there's no possibility of saying that in such a bar, which is so wide, there should be a chiyuv of hevel. And therefore, uba acher vahosif ba hevel lemisa. When the second guy who did the siyud and the kiyud, he narrowed the bar, he created a bar hamemis. And therefore, he's chayev, and the first one is potter, nistalik meiser risha. This works very well according to Rav, who says that bar equals hevel, and not chavota. Shmuel holds that you chayev for two alternative roads, or paths in bar, as we saw back on Daf Nunam at Beis. And bar is both hevel and how much more so chavata. So how are we going to answer this brisa according to Shmuel? Because the first guy dug a bar that was a bar of memes, it was 10 tefachim for chavata. So perhaps we could say that according to Shmuel, the case that the brisa is addressing here is where the Rishon fills in the karkos habar with sfogim. In other words, there was no possibility of chavata. Ika diamri, the Gemara gives another alternative explanation here within the context of Rav Zvid. Omar Rav Zvid, Haveha Rebbe. We can go back and say that Enochinami. According to Rav Zvid, there is no contradiction between the two brisos, but both reflect the shita of Rebbe, who says that the two, the Rishon and the Sheni, are equally chayev in Nezikin. Hachtik Tani, the first brisa, kulam chayovim shape. The first brisa certainly reflects the shita of Rebbe. We don't have to add any explanation for that. But Hadik Tani, in the second brisa, the one who plasters the Messiah, is Achron Chayov. Kigon shlo hayabo hevel lo lemisa v'lo lenizakin uba acher v'hosu bo hevel bein lemisa bein lenizakin. So as far as the bar that was created by the Rishon, even though it was deep, but nevertheless it was very wide, there was plenty of airspace, there was no hevel lemisa, and therefore he did not create a bar at all, not even as far as Nezikin is concerned. And again, there was no chavot here because we said, according to Shmuel, we're talking about a case where he softened and cushioned the bottom of the bar with sfogim. Now the sheni, who plasters the inside of the bar, he's the one who created a bar both for Nezikin and for Misa, and therefore he's chayev and not the first. The Gemara now goes back to the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. Omar Rava. Rava says that if the first one digs a bar that's 9 tefachim, and the second one, he niach even al pi habar, he places a stone on the outside of the bar, And let's assume that that stone it completely encircles the entire opening of the bar, Vishlima Lasara. Now the distance between the top of this Evan and the bottom of this bar is 10 Tfachim. Is Banu L'machlokes Rebbe Rabbana? Now it's according to Rebbe, the Achron is Chayev for Misa if the Shard dies, but they're both Chayev and Ezekiel. And according to the Rabbanon, the Achron is Chayev both for Misa and Ben Ezekiel because he created a Bar Asaras. The Gemara says, Pshita, what did Rava mean to add here to what we already knew? This is a classical case of Teisha and Eser. Gemara says, Mao, the same I would have thought. Limata hu dahavla didei kakotil le, avla maila delo havla didei kakotil, ema lo. I would have thought that if you add to the inside of the bar by digging the bar deeper, that's called lamata, then it makes sense that the sheni who added to the depths of the bar is chayev. And why is that? Because we could say that what killed the shard that fell into this bar, it was the hevel that he created by adding this tefach on the inside. But in the case of Avonim Lamala, there, Lav Havla Dideka Kotil, the stones on the outside, which are exposed to the airspace, they didn't create any Hevel Hamemis. Why? Because the Nizak died from the Hevel inside the bar, not the Hevel that was created on the outside of the bar. So the Hevel of the inside of the bar is purely attributable to the Rishon and not to the Sheni, and therefore I would have thought that whether you hold like the Rabbanon or Rebbe, the Achron should certainly be Potter. Kamashmal and Rav's Chiddush is that it makes no difference whether he adds to the bar on the inside of the bar and digs it deeper, or he adds on the outside by adding this Evan around the lip of the bar. The additional Tefach that he adds on the outside has an impact on the entire bar, and it creates or it impacts on the karkios, on the very bar itself, that makes it into a bar amemis. Boy Rava, now Rava has a suffix about bar shel shnei shutfim. We're talking about a case where the first one dug a bar that's 9 tefachim, the second one added a tefach, he made it into a bar of 10 tefachim. Now the Achron comes around. Tam. Again, here the word Tam is written with a test, not with a tuff. And it's an Aramaic word, tes mem sophis, which means sosam. And this you'll find in Unkelis on the pasuk sosum, sosmum plishtim in Breishis Perkavov. So in any event, the word is sasam. And what did he do? He took dirt, he took afar, tefach. In other words, the second guy now adds dirt and in effect removed that very tefach, that tenth tefach that he had added. That tefach no longer exists because he filled it in. Or alternatively, Silek Avonov, if he had added a tefach through an Evan on top, he now removes the Evan. Mao, what's the din? And Lechora, the intuitive answer would be, whatever he did, he removed. So it's back to square one. Or should we say now he took over the whole bar? Mi Amrina and Maiti Ovid Shakli, what he did by adding the tenth tefach, he now is removed. And now the Rishon is Chayev and not the Sheni. O Dilma, or shall we say, no. Nistalku Maisa Rishon. The very moment that he added that tefach and he created a bar amemis, we already apply the principle of the Rabbanon of Nistalku Maisa Rishon, and now Kamale Kule Bershuse. Whatever's left in the bar, meaning the first 9 tefachim, are his bar. And therefore he's chayev, at least as far as Nezikin is concerned, on this bar of 9 tefachim. Because he becomes, so to speak, the bailim of the bar the very moment he added the 10th tefach. And now even though he removed that very same tefchach that he added, but now he's the balabar in the ninth tefachim, he's chayav in the zikin. Teku, and the Gemara says, we come to absolutely no conclusion. Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar Shmuel Bar Marta, Bar Shmone. If a man digs a bar eight tefachim, umihem, and amongst these eight tefachim, shnei tefachim mayim. He filled up the bar two tefachim. So he's got a bar of eight tefachim, two tefachim of which is water. And now the animal fell in and dies. Chayav. Why is he chayav? It's only a bar of eight tefachim. It's not chayav for me. So my taima, the Gemara says, kol tefach de maya kitrei diabosha dami. The danger that's added by one tefach of mayim is equivalent, again, we're talking about the hevel of the bar, is equivalent to two tefachim without water. So now he adds two tefachim, which is equivalent to four tefachim of hevel, add that to the eight tefachim, and he's chayev. Please note that in Rabba's Sofek, it's two tefachim of mayim. It seems that two tefachim of mayim has a dramatic impact in terms of adding hevel. So the Gemara asks, Iboilehu bar tisha umehen tefach echad mayim mahu. Does that ratio apply even if it's only one tefach of mayim? Mi amrin, do we say kevin delo nefishe mayim, there's not enough water to make an impact of hevel lespe havola? The mayim did not call two tefachim of mayim could create an impact of hevel and increase the hevel. But one tefach not odilma kevon di amik tfei is be'avola. Or shall we just say that it now is a deeper bar? It's not like a bar of shmona, it's a bar of teisha, and the extra tefach of mayim in the bar of teisha is enough to add hevel that makes this a bar hamemis. Another question. Bar shiva, it was nine tefachim deep. Umehen shlosha tefachim mayim, and now amongst the nine tefachim of depth in this bar, there are three tefachim of mayim. Mao, what's the din? Mi amrinon kevon dinafishi mayim tfei. Now there's three tefachim of water. Is that increases ispe havla the hevel here, and it makes it into a bar asora that's roi lehomis? O dilma kevon delo amka, since this bar is very shallow, it's only seven tefachim deep. Lespe havla, there's not enough of hevel, and the additional quantity of water, in this case three tefachim's worth of water, is not enough to be mashlim to complete that deficiency of the depth of the bar, teku. So in all these cases we have a teku. And of course the poskim are going to deal with the question as to whether or not the mazik, the bala bar, is chayav in the case of teku. And logically we should say that safek mamon lekula. And if you take a look in the Rambam, in Perek Yud Beis, he writes, Hoya omek habar tisha, umehem tefach echad mayim chayav, she tefach shal mayim choshiv ka omek shnei tefachim bayabosha, hayu omko shmona mehem shnei tefachim mayim, o shaya omko shiva mehem shlosh tefachim mayim, v'nofel tocho shor v'chayotze meis, ein mechayiv v'noso l'shalim, shadvar me'elu sofek yesh bahem. So in other words, the Rambam had a slightly different girsa in our Gemara. The Rambam's girsa had it that in the case of nine tefachim plus one tefach of mayim, meaning one of those nine tefachim was mayim, then that for sure, without a doubt, he's chayav for. And so too, in a case of, I'm sorry, but in contrast, I should say, the Rambam is saying that in the case of eight tefachim plus two tefachim mayim, or sheva tefachim and three tefachim mayim, those are cases of safek. V'ein mechayv in osol l'sham shadvar me'elu safek. Now, Rabba's original safek, the way we have it in the Girsa, was a bar shmona umehem shnei tefachim mayim. The question is, why didn't Rabba ask the question about a bar tisha or a bar shiva? He didn't formulate that question originally from the get-go. And on this, there's a long discussion in one of the great achronim on Masechta Vavakama, the Torah's Chaim, We don't have time for that now. Boy mine Rav Shizbi mi Rabba. We're talking about a case of someone who dug a bar 10 tefachim, and the second guy comes along, hirchiva, he widens the opening of the bar, and an animal now falls in and dies, mahu. What should we say? Should the marchiv who widened the bar be chayev? Omar le, so Rabbi gave the obvious answer, hare miet havla. On the contrary, there's no reason to say that the sheni is chayev when he's diminishing the hevel of the bar. If anything, he should be given shishi because he is protecting the rabbi from this bar. Amole, so Rav Shizbi says, Adrav, I have a svar to say just the opposite. Are kerev hezeka, by widening the bar, there are more chances. He increases the probability that animals might fall into the bar. If it hadn't been widened, then there wouldn't have been a shar that would, while it's going through Rishus HaRabim, would come close to that bar. You know, now you've taken over a wider area of Rishus HaRabim. Ella, but rather to answer up your safek, Rav Shizbi, Omer Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi, nechse anon iba havla meis, miet havli, b'chavota meis kerev hezeka. If the shar that fell into this widened bar died as a result of Hevel, then you're right. The logic of Rabbah mentioned earlier is absolutely compelling. There's no reason to be Mechayev the Sheni. He was Memayit the Hevel. But if the shar died because it smacked up against the Karkois HaBar, and according to Shmuel, you're Chayev for such a thing, then Adarab the Sheni is Chayev because he was Makariv Hezekah. If not for his widening, maybe the shar wouldn't have fallen in. Ika Diamri, others have a different text of different version of Rav Ashi. Om Rav Ashi, nechse anon. Ime ahi gisa nofal, hare kerev hezeke. Ime idach gisa nofal, hare miet havla. From what side did the shar fall in? If he fell in from the side where the sheni was marchiv, then Enochinami, the sheni is chai because he was makariv hezeke. But if he fell in from the other side, then the Akron is potter because he was Memayit Havla, and the Sheni, who was Marchiv, had no contributing factor to this Hezek. Itmar Bar Sheomka, we're talking about a bar that's 10 Tfachim, but the depth of the bar Kirochva, the width of the bar is equal to the depth of the bar. What's the din in such a case? And we're talking about an issue of Hevel. Rabba Rav Yosef the Amitravayu Mishmei de Rabba Barbachana the Amri Mishmei de Rabbi Mani Chad Omer Liolam Yeshba Hevel Ajay Rochba Yeser Al Omka. If the width is exactly equivalent to the depth, then there's enough Hevel to kill the animal. And therefore we assume if the animal died, the Bala Bar is Chayev. Why? Because the Rochav is equal to the Omek. Chad Omer, the other opinion, is Liolam Ein Ba Hevel Adshe Omka Yeser Al Rochba. If the Rochav and the Omek are equal, that's not Hevel Amemis. It's only when the Omek is greater than the Rochav, that's when it's a Hevel Hamemis. Now, in the Mishnah, it says that a bar shel shnei shutfim, avar olavar rishon v'lo kisahu, the first one used the bar, and he didn't cover it. Then he gave it over to the second one, who used the bar and didn't cover it. The second one is chayv, the rishon is potter. Says the Gemara, v'rishon me emas miftar. At what point in time do we say that the rishon is potter, we're mesalik the rishon from his liability, is obligation to watch the bar, and only the sheni is chayev. Rabba for Rav Yosef the Amri Travai Mishmei the Rabba Bar Barchana the Amri Mishmei the Rebbe Mani Chad Omar Mishe Maniach Mishtamesh. As soon as the first one finishes his tashmish as a partner, he used the bar. Now he gives it over to the sheni, and the sheni continues and uses the bar. At that point, the first one is out of the picture, and the second one is chayev. Chad Omar Mishe Yimser Lo Dolio. the Rishon has to take the Dali, this bucket, or some say that the Dali here means a covering over the bar, and at that point, that's when the Rishon is Potter. If he doesn't actually hand him over the Dali, even though he finished using it and he gives the Sheni now his rights to use it, that's not enough to be Mesalik the Rishon. The transfer of Tashmish of use is not enough to be Mafkir the Rishon from his Chiyuvim. You need an actual Mesira of the covering of the bar. There's got to be, so to speak, an explicit statement. My friend, I don't have the time to cover the bar. You're going to use the bar. Here's the covering. You're responsible. And the Gemara is going to say that this is indeed a machlokes tanoim. Kitanoi hamadle mayim in a bar. A person draws water with a bucket from a bar, from a cistern, ubo chavero, and his shutaf, who owns equal rights to the bar, comes along. And Omar lo, hanachli vani edla mayim. Now it's my turn to draw water from the bar. Kemenche nicho mishtamesh. Since the first one left the bar, as far as shimushim is in the hands of the sheni potter, Rabbi Loza ben Yaakov Omer, mishayimsar lo dolyo. It's not enough that the sheni picks up the tashmishim of the bar. The rishon has to actually hand over the covering of the bar. So now we have a machlokas amoroim that really dates back to a machlokas tanoim. But b'mayka miflugi, what is the yisod of this machlokas? Rabbi Lezer and Yaakov sovar yesh breira. And the Rabbanan savri ein breira. That this machlokas is a machlokas about breira. So Rabbosai, in order to do an adequate job on this halacha of breira, we're going to need a little bit more time for, you know, to introduce this topic. So Mirtz Hashem, we'll cover this tomorrow.